Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that. We
need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy. Couples Therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I'm Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
Real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Naomi and I are on pins and needles waiting for the, you know, when we're recording this, waiting for the Johnny Depp Amber Heard results to come in. Verdict?
Yeah, I'm waiting for the results. I'm waiting for my test results.
I mean,
for
besides
Johnny Depp and Amber Heard.
Naomi, I'm very curious. Do you understand stan culture at all? Because as far as I understand, Johnny Depp is just an actor that was in a bunch of pirate movies and like some decent movies back in the day.
Yep.
And I don't understand. Besides the fact that I'm pretty sure he's paid some kind of publicist to to ring his name out on the internet. I don't understand stan culture.
I don't either.
For anything. For any
right,
person.
Right, of course.
Musician or... I mean, there's people I'm fans of.
Sure.
I love Pavement. But if you called Steve Malkmus a dick online, I would ignore it.
Exactly, exactly.
I wouldn't be like, you should be lucky to type the name Stephen Malkmus. I ought to find out where you live and cut your Achilles tendon, hide under your car. Cut your Achilles tendon when you go to your...
Andy, don't give these stands any ideas.
I just don't... I'm like... If you would literally, if someone attacked you online, I would just mute them.
Well, sometimes you come to my defense, but
and
only
then you
if
tell me don't.
That's true. And then I tell you, please don't get involved. Don't give them an ounce of attention. That's very, very true.
Listeners, you're younger than us. Please, someone explain this to us.
You're younger than us. I think there are listeners who are our age and older.
That's true. That is also true. But I think we also have a number of younger listeners.
We did find out that we had a 22-year-old Patreon. You know, and I've been reeling from that news ever since.
So yes, please, if you are a teenager, if you're in your 20s, please explain to us how you can love an artist so much you will attack people for them.
Right.
In online.
Exactly.
Because I'm baffled. I'm old and baffled.
Andy, do we have any fun updates?
We have
or fupdates, is that what you call them?
Go on.
Fun update, fup date.
That was the worst portmanteau.
Okay.
I love you deeply.
Yep.
Yep.
But that's the worst portmanteau I've ever heard.
And you know what? I appreciate your honesty.
Do you remember someone calling in on the Danielle Pinnock episode where they were getting ghosted?
Yes.
Got an update from them.
Hi, this is Layla, my alias Layla, who called with a question about ghosting. I was so happy and surprised to hear you guys get to it. Thank you so much. It had been months since I talked to that person at that point. He actually ended up Sasquatching and reappearing, and it was a mess. It was a big mess. So it was a really awkward story involving mushrooms, and I don't need to get into it, but that person is not in my life. I'm actually calling not for that story. I'm calling because I just listened to your latest episode, where your wonderful guest was talking about setting boundaries with his mother and how to set boundaries explicitly. And they couldn't remember where they had learned this, but I immediately recognized that discussion about boundaries from this psychiatrist or psychologist, Nedra Glover-Tawab, who has an amazing Instagram where she lays out how to set boundaries really easily in bullet points. Her book, Set Boundaries, Find Peace, changed my life and my understanding of how to deal with my relationships and also how to set boundaries for myself. So kind of to tie it into that horrible story of the ghost slash Sasquatch, I really did a lot of thinking about how to set boundaries with people and also how to stick to my own boundaries when people try and cross them. So yeah, I hope your listeners check that out. There's a lot of faux wellness people on Instagram, but she's the real thing, and I've just found a lot of help from her. So thank you guys for all you do. Say hi to the animals. Love you. Bye.
Okay, this was gorgeous. I do need you to know that I'm still stuck on the phrase Sasquatch. That someone Sasquatched.
And they returned. I love that.
Yes, I think that's amazing. Gosh, now that's hip and cool. See, this is what we get from our younger listeners. Phrases like Sasquatch, because that's real.
But and also Instagram psychologists. I do like that they're like, most of them are frauds. This one's not.
Exactly. So thank you so much for giving us that update as well as that suggestion. Oh, you're both receiving and giving. Bless.
Update number two. This is from Colton's episode. All right. Do you remember someone called up? They're like, they introduced two of their friends.
Yes. And now the friends are hanging out. And that's why I never introduce friends.
And they feel left out.
Yeah.
Hey, Naomi and Andy. This is an update to a previous question you played. And also, I really like the podcast, but I feel like you guys are fucking with me. The first time I asked a question on the podcast, it was answered by Langston Kerman, who I definitely have a crush on. And the second question I asked got answered by Colton Haynes, who my teenage self had a huge crush on. So I'm just feeling a lot right now. But I just wanted to give a quick update because more of a thank you, because all of your advice was exactly what I did. I just did it on my own because the voicemails get delayed. When I first asked, it was winter. Now it's summer. I did a lot of therapy and inner work, and I'm just happy to say that I pretty much followed all of your advice. I found better connections that were more in tune with what I wanted, close to me. I decided to let go after venting to every close friend and family member I have about the situation, and really just started to focus more on what I wanted in my life. And actually next week I have lunch plans with both of those girls separately just to see if maybe I can reconnect with the individuals, because my real issue at the end of the day with connections is that I often lose them because much like Andy, I'm afraid that people don't actually want to talk to me or just assume that they don't. And I just want to tell any other maybe socially awkward listeners or unconfident listeners, but that's probably not the case. If someone has made an effort to hang out and talk with you in the past, it's worth just hitting them up again, and you'll kind of get your answers to whether or not you can keep that connection going. But yeah, don't stop trying, and thank you guys so much for your help. Appreciate it, and love the podcast. And I'm going to stop asking questions and hopefully I can just keep listening because I'm done. But thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Wow, repeat questioner. That does feel beautiful. And to have two crushes answer your questions?
Is that something we can tout? You know, if you ask a question, it might be answered by someone you had a crush on.
Maybe answered by a celebrity crush. Think about that. So you got to keep calling. You got to keep writing.
You got to keep writing. You got to keep calling. You got to subscribe to the Patreon.
That's another thing. That's another thing you can do. You guys, if you enjoy this beautiful introductory banter, imagine 45 minutes of this twice a month. Twice a month. Because for $5, that's what you get when you join our page, honey. Two bonus episodes. We get into it. We're spilling tea. We're talking about behind the scenes.
We're pulling back the sick curtain of showbiz.
It's all happening. So if you want to check it out, you can go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod. Now, I granted I just asked you to sign up for the Patreon, but I have another thing to ask you. If you live in Los Angeles, I will be doing my very first show at Largo, like my own show, as opposed to just being on other people's shows.
Yes, Largo is our favorite venue in all the world.
It is wonderful, and yes, you do have to wear a mask there. Part of why I love it. But the show is called Naomi Ekparrigan Makes Friends, Thursday, June 30th, 8:30 p.m. We are coming through. I am bringing on comics who I love and who I want to be my friend, hence the title Naomi Ekparrigan Makes Friends. So it is going to be a wonderful lineup. I'm going to do some material. I'm going to try out some new stuff. It's going to be fresh, fun, and funky fresh. That's what I have to say. So again, you can go to largola.com. Naomi Ekparrigan Makes Friends, June 30th, 8:30 p.m. Now, is there anything else I need to talk about?
One more thing. I want to put this out there. If you're an artist, we have some design needs, all right? If you want to send your portfolio and your rates to couplestherapypod@gmail.com,
yes.
I will sift through and maybe we can find some listeners to work with.
Absolutely. Coming up with a little bit of merch.
Yes.
You know, that's
paid.
Yes, it would be paid.
When I said rates,
it's because we would pay you that rate.
Yes.
I hope
everyone knows that we're not looking for free labor from people. It's especially us. If there's one podcast duo that is not looking for free labor, it is us.
It is us.
It is us. Except from our guests.
Very good segue. But today, we have a wonderful episode. This was somebody I was legit, like, geeked to talk to. We are here. You've already heard his dulcet tones, honey. Bob the Drag Queen. Yes, Bob, winner of season 8 of Drag Race, comedian, actor, co-host of the HBO show We're Here. I mean, everywhere you could be, Bob. Okay, this is huge for us. This is a real, what I call a real get.
Yes, and it's such a funny way that it came about.
You'll hear all about how this came to be. I believe that this was a gift from a listener, and it's a gift that keeps on giving. So without further ado, babies, roll it. Bob, we have to get into, first of all, how this came to be, all right? We need to shout out Noah, your dear friend Noah,
yes.
Who sent an email. And
Noah, the Machiavelli of podcasts, behind the scenes manipulating the master of whispers.
Yes, Noah is a dear friend of mine from the Bay Area. Do you know Noah? Did Noah just...
He listens...
He's a fan of the podcast.
Yeah, listen to the podcast. We all know Noah personally.
Yeah, no, Noah was visiting me recently from the Bay Area and was like, you need to be on Naomi's podcast. And I was like, okay. But he was persistent. Like every time we talk, he's like, have you reached out to Naomi about being on the podcast? And I was like, you know, I have not. I got to be honest with you, Noah. I have not. But Noah did the legwork, honey. Yep, Noah is now truly a producer.
Truly a producer, getting credits. Thank you for doing the Lord's work, Noah.
Working in casting.
Now, does Noah do that a lot with you? Like, you need to do X, Y, or Z? Or was this a special occasion?
This has never happened with Noah. I mean, with the occasional, you got to try this restaurant. No, not even that. Noah's never... gone this hard on for anything that I mean, he and I, like, we go to concerts together and stuff and we hang out, but this is the most I've ever seen Noah this passionate about anything. It was very interesting.
Wow.
You like that? Are you, in general, if a friend says something to you like you have to do X, Y, or Z, you're like, okay, sure. If a friend does that to me, my immediate response is, I'm not doing that. Like,
you don't tell me what to do.
It depends on what it is. If it's like trying food, I'll try the. But if it's work stuff, I'm like, I'm probably not gonna. Yeah. Look into that. But I'm really bad at scheduling. My biggest downfall, my only weakness is scheduling. I can't schedule myself. I've been notoriously bad at it for my whole life. I double book myself all the time. And I was just like, this sounds like correspondence and emails, and I don't have the ability to get into all of that.
It's a gross world impinging on our freedoms. The world of business.
Oh, see, I just don't like I have a hard time, and maybe it's because my emotions rule me, but it's like, I can't tell you how I'm going to feel in 2 weeks. I can't honestly tell you that I'm going to be able to show up for something. Do you know what
I mean? Well, I'm pretty, if it's in my schedule, I will show up, but getting it in my schedule is pretty tough. And I really, you know what I actually hate? I hate meeting with people for food. I hate meeting for lunch. Mm. I hate meeting for dinner because, like, what if I get there and the conversation is not great? We are now tied to the time constraints of the food. Whereas if I just meet you for a walk, I can leave at any point and it is acceptable. Now, if I'm meeting you for food and I leave before the entrees are there, oh my God, what a monster. You can't call for the check early. You're a monster. But if we're meeting for coffee, I can decide I'm finished with my coffee at any point and just get up and leave and say a very pleasant goodbye.
But how do you, I am very bad, even at parties, bad at disentangling myself.
Yeah.
And before the pandemic started, I actually would go to parties and practice this, but I'm bad at because I get in a lot of boring conversations because I can't just be like, okay, I got to go. I don't care about
you. Also,
I don't care about 401ks. I'm sorry that this is occupying your mind. I don't find that interesting.
But you present obviously, white and boring, and so you attract other boring whites,
right?
And so what happens is we'll be at some place, and then some other gentleman.
Yes.
Thinks Andy is going to be his friend this evening.
Yes, and it turns out I'm off-white and an iconoclast.
Well, you know what? I also get the really extravagant people coming up. I mean, like people come up to me and I think they feel like they have to really be over the top. So people will walk up to me and be like, "Yes, honey, yes." And I'm like, you're coming in real hot. In order to get myself disentangled, I have a few lines that I say. One of them is, I'm not good at small talk. I just say up front, I'm really not good at small talk. And that will either, they'll either go, you know what, me either, and they'll leave. Or sometimes I just full on say, I'm going to go now. I'll just say that. But I don't make an excuse. Like that's the thing, when you get off the phone and you say like, I have to. If you say like, "Oh, I have a thing. I have to go." That's a lie. You don't have a thing.
Right.
But if you just say I have to go, they know it's just not talking. So they're not going to try to call you when the thing's over. You just say, "I'm going to go now," and they say, "Yes." I say, "No, I don't have anything. I'm just going to go. I'm going to go." My mom does this thing. Southern women do this thing where they say, "Well, I'm going to let you go."
Yes, I'm gonna let you go.
Like, as but the truth is, she wants to leave, but she makes it seem like I want to leave. I'm being like, well, I want to keep you. I don't want to hold you up.
Oh, I love it though. That's my preferred. Uh-huh. That I'm gonna let you go. You know what? I'm gonna let you live. And then I just like, I like to do that because then you do feel like, and then maybe they're like, oh, ha ha ha, but it's like, oh no, I'm actually leaving.
Now I gotta ask, is that a confidence? Because that seems to be, like, to say that, I'm going to go now. That's confidence that I don't have. Because that just – and I'm wondering, does that predate drag? Because to me, to do drag, the one time I was on a show out here called Game Show, G-A-Y-M-E, Game Show, and I had to do a lip sync. It was very obvious that my lack of confidence – shown through my inability to sing Aretha Franklin's Respect.
Well, also, too, he was like, wait a minute, there's so many more words than R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he was like, outside of the...
There are four verses. There's four verses before you get to
Yeah, what you want, baby, I got it. What you need, you know I got it. And all I'm asking is for a little risk. And then give it to me, second to me.
Yes. So, okay, anyway. I'm just saying that my lack of brashness and confidence shown through in that moment. And I'm wondering if this is something that predates drag or if it is a confidence that you gained through drag.
I think I gained it through age, quite frankly. You know, I used to be a real people pleaser when I was younger, an absurd people pleaser. And I don't mean just a little bit, like to a weird degree. My need to be liked was so severe and crippling that it permeated everything I did. And I mean everything I did. And as I got old, I think for me what it was actually living in New York City. Mm-hmm. It was getting older. And New York City will harden you. I lived in New York City for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And it really just changed me, I think, for the better. And I get now why people say New Yorkers aren't rude, they're just direct.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
Are. Thank you very much.
She's from
Harlem. And I are you from Harlem? Yeah. And I, yes. and I learned how to be much more direct. You learn. It's really funny because New Yorkers aren't mean. If you want to see how nice a New Yorker is, let me tell you. No one tells you this secret about New York City. New Yorkers love, and I mean they love to give you directions. They love telling you.
You're gonna say that.
They love telling you how to get somewhere on the train. And you ask one person how to get to Times Square, that person are telling you, and then someone else will chime in. No. Listen to me. You gotta get off it. Listen to me, trust me, get off at 96th Street and get on the express train, the 2. And then I would say, No, you're only saving yourself like 3 minutes. If you stay on the one, there's more seats. You can sit down. You're only gonna get to Times Square 3 minutes later. You're gonna have a much more comfortable ride. The 2 train is way too crowded. The 1 makes more I mean, they will climb over each other to give you instructions or directions on how to get somewhere. And that's how you know New Yorkers really are nice. They just don't have time for niceties and bullshit.
Yes. I think especially too that when, you know, in the world we're now, of course, the last 10 years, the trains are never doing what they're supposed to do, right? So that's the other thing too. We're like, don't take that because actually it's not even stopping there. So listen to me. And you want to take this over here. Like, that is like my thing.
One of my favorite New York City moments ever was, you were like from New York, from Harlem?
Yep.
On the one train, I will never forget this. This was one of my favorite moments, I think, of my whole life I've ever experienced. It was this woman on the one train making that. She goes, "This one train is making express stops to 96th Street. I repeat, this one train is making express stops to 96th Street. But the way she started was, she goes, "Attention all passengers, attention all passengers. If you're reading a book, stop reading. If you are having a conversation, please pay attention. If you are sitting next to somebody with headphones on, tap them on the shoulder. Because I don't want nobody to be able to say they did not hear this message." And I was thinking to myself, that was a note she got from management. Like, people were said they didn't. She goes, "No one will ever be able." And you know, she recorded herself. She was like, "No one will ever be able to say that I did not make this announcement ever again."
Like, she's reading. She wrote it out in script form. She's reading lines in the mirror.
Attention all passengers.
Well, no, you know what it is? Because she know that when that train stops, she don't want nobody coming to her little window yelling at her. She goes, "I said to listen. I don't want to hear it from you."
Fun
right
fact,
now.
By the way. Fun fact, people don't know about this. If you wait on the subway platform, there is a bar like above of your head, and it's got stripes on it. That is always where the train conductor stops. So if you ever want to be safe, you go by the bars. But also, fun fact, every stop, the conductor opens the door, opens their little window, and they point at the thing, and they close the window. And once you notice it, you cannot unsee it. They always open their window, they point at the bar, they close it, and they keep moving. I don't know why they do it, but every conductor does it.
They just are like, "Here we are, letting you know that this is where I am." And then
it's probably because there's a camera pointing at that spot, and they probably there's also where the cameras are, and you have to maybe point so you know the train's not running on auto. They know that you're paying attention, that you're awake. Who
that
knows?
You're working.
Wait, maybe it's also a thing like if one of those things where they take over the train, like a terrorist takes over the train, they wouldn't know to stop and point.
But I ruined it by saying it on this podcast. Now everyone knows.
Now everyone's going to do it. God damn it. Okay, well, we talk about the New York years, though.
What could a terrorist do with a train besides make everyone late? Like, like you can't jump the tracks and go somewhere.
It's like, I was stuttering because I was trying to think of the movie. Was it Taking a Pelham 1-2-3 where they take over the train?
Yes.
Yes, that's
the one. What do they do with the train, though?
I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
Well, I think they probably tried, right? They have someone trying to do that thing where you, like, change the tracks, right? And, like, get it to go in a different direction. But then it's like, you need somebody else doing that. Like, you need somebody, like, an inside man, an outside man, somebody in the station, somebody on the track.
It's also a train. It can only go where the tracks go. Like, you can't take the train on the highway. Like, you can only go within the system of the MTA. So where are you going to go with this? Unless you take the Metro North.
Mm-hmm. Or New Jersey Transit. Go south.
New Jersey. There it is.
Yeah.
And there you have it.
Go to Bergen County.
Oh, God. Well, then you're on your own. No one cares. Like, take it. But now, your New York years, you said 12 years. Was that, like, your 20s? Like,
Yeah. I moved there when I was 22, and I moved out when I was 33, 34. Okay. Do y'all live in New York right now?
No, we're in L.A.
L.A. Yeah. Gang, gang, gang.
That's what we say every day when we walk outside.
Was New York, obviously, yeah, you said you learned, you know, to kind of be more direct. But was that also then a dating playground for you? Is New York where you really just started to go about town and take lovers, as I like to say?
I mean, it was a fucking playground. There was very little dating.
Okay.
Much more fucking than there was dating. I actually have only ever had two boyfriends, and they are both still my boyfriends.
Oh, really?
I have no exes.
What?
Wait,
how?
So you went right from just like hooking up to two boyfriends.
Yeah. You nailed it.
That feels like a lot. That's really going in terms of romantic responsibility, right? Because you go from the hooking up, which is like, all right, see you never or whatever, to now, like, I am now going to show up for two people.
Well, when I first got to New York City, I really was one of those people who was in my 20s, but, like, you know, they say youth is wasted on the young.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a prime example of that because I spent my entire 20s thinking I was fat when I wasn't, thinking I was ugly when I wasn't, mm-hmm. thinking I was unattractive when I wasn't. I spent a lot of my time feeling that way, and it exuded. It showed on the outside as well. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, I started getting more confident, and maybe people just more into, you know, maybe as I got older, I started giving off a different vibe, and people were into that more because I started feeling more confident in myself. You start caring less. You just care less as you get older as well. And then I think in the midst of that, I started being a little more promiscuous gal, as Nelly Furtado would say. And then, you know, so then I met this guy named Jacob in the Bay Area while I was there doing a gig. And then he and I started dating when I moved to the Bay Area to work on a play I was doing there. Are you wearing Warby Parker's?
Yes.
I have those same glasses. I literally have those exact glasses. We're good people. We bought glasses for someone who needed them. We're good people, you and I.
We did. We did it.
Sorry. That distracted me. Sorry.
I have Warby Parker's too. I'm just wearing my contacts now.
No.
The Warby Parker contacts. but yeah, anyway, so me and Jacob have been dating for about five years now. And then I met Ezra almost 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years in October.
Okay.
But when you and Jacob got together, was it an open relationship in the first place?
Yeah, from the get.
Okay.
Yeah.
From the get.
Do you two have an open relationship?
No. The thing is, how do you not feel jealous, and how do you, like, trust people? Because that's not something we do.
Right. We have problems with jealousy and trust in general.
Well, I think people think that people in open relationships or who are polyamorous are somehow impervious to those feelings, when it's not true. I experience jealousy all the time. I get jealous with my friends. Yeah. I get jealous when my friends hang out and I'm not there.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly it.
But it doesn't stop me from being their friends. I can still be their friends, you know what I mean? So, I mean, if anything, I get jealous sometimes when my partner, because me and my partners, we look very different from each other. Mm-hmm. I'm dating a Mexican guy and a Jewish guy, and we just look very different. So sometimes I get very jealous if my partners hook up with someone that I want to hook up with, and but that person's not into me. And I'm like, man, that must be nice. Must be not my work.
Okay, wow, this is gorgeous, twins.
Anyway, I'm like, must be nice, like, and but I realized that our love for each other really goes beyond that feeling, and it's okay to be jealous sometimes. You can be jealous of your partner outside of relationship stuff. You know, me and my partner Ezra had a conversation a while, because Ezra's also an entertainer, and he was saying in the beginning of our relationship that he was very jealous of me because of my success. And I think that, you know, but we're still able to, we talk through it, we communicate, and we're able to figure out how to uplift each other.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But okay. So here's the thing though. The thing, like, let's go back to the friends thing, right? If my friends hang out without me, it's just a little tiny grain, a little molecule of resentment that gets stuck in my heart. And I'm in therapy. I do work to like to flush the grain, the molecule out of my system, right? But sometimes
an emotional douche, if you will.
An emotional douche, yes. But sometimes like a pearl of resentment forms. Like a clam, like in a clam, the clam of my heart.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
All right, and then it just keeps growing, and the pearl becomes bigger. So I'm
intrigued that you call it a pearl, because pearls have value, and I don't know what value this resentment has. I think this is more like a tumor than it is than a pearl. You have emotional polyps. You have polyps of resentment.
It is a polyp.
I don't know if they're pearls of resentment, but the thing is, in my experience, whenever you, I learned this in some groups I go to, you know, resentment is like drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. Mm-hmm. It really does. It does not. And I don't want to sound, I'm not enlightened, but as someone who had a lot of resentments for a lot of people, my dad growing up, I realized that me resenting my dad and not talking to him about it, it only hurts me. It has no bearing on him. No effect on him whatsoever. It's just me hating my father and carrying that with me everywhere I go. But whenever I talk to my dad about these things, the resentment is less and less and less. But I'm also not afraid of confrontation. I am genuinely not afraid to confront people at all. Or I'm not afraid of having awkward conversations. So I'd rather have an awkward conversation about you hooking up with that person I also wanted to hook up with. And honestly, I realize, I'm like, I'll just ask you about it. What was it like? And maybe I can live vicariously through you in that moment. What do they do? Do they do this? Were they good at that? Oh, that's so good. That's a great story. Thank you for telling me. I love you so much. You know?
But now, though, considering that you had not had relationships before, to go into an open one up top, right? Like out the gate, was that, Did you have any hesitation to start, or were you kind of like, almost in a way, this is a good way to start a relationship because it doesn't come with the same, we have to be
the same boundaries, the
same, like, we have to be each other's everything.
Yeah, you know, I didn't want to change up what I was doing. I didn't want to have to be a different person. I didn't want to stop. Like, I like having sex with lots of people, and I didn't want to have to change that. I didn't want to have to sacrifice. I don't feel like you should have to sacrifice to be with someone to be happy. I mean, we all sacrifice certain things, but, like, you know, part of this started. Can we get graphic on this podcast?
Always. Yes.
So I used to I had a summer fling with this guy a long time ago, and he and his boyfriend broke up, and I was his summer fun. And he asked me, I asked him, like, why they broke up. And you know what he told me? He said because his boyfriend wouldn't eat his ass and they were in a closed relationship. So he was thinking to himself, so this means you won't do this. You just flat out won't do this for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not allowed to go looking for it anywhere else. Huh. So I just don't get to have my ass eaten and you won't do it for me. And you said I can't look for it anywhere else, and we're committed to each other. So for the foreseeable future that we're together, I just don't get to have this ever again.
Right.
And he was like, and that's not a sacrifice that I'm willing to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he went out, and then I think him and his partner realized that it's not that serious. Just let your partner go get his ass eaten by someone else so that you can both be happy.
Right, right, right.
Like, it's not like you want, it's like you didn't even want to do it anyway.
Right,
you
know what I mean? Right. Yes.
It's like with a thing like those couples who have to watch TV shows together, but it's okay if you watch TV shows together, but if I'm like, I don't want to watch Abbott Elementary, and I do, right. And it's like, so now can I not watch Abbott Elementary because you don't want to watch it? You know what I mean? Let me go watch Abbott Elementary on my own, and you and I can watch, you know, the other shows that we watch together.
Exactly, exactly.
Right, I think that would be our version of getting your ass eaten.
Right, you can go watch Ozark without me. Right. I want nothing to do with that life. It's literally what it is.
Yeah, but there are those certain things where it's just like, I don't want to say deal breakers because I don't want to sound like 30 Rock.
No, but yeah, it's the deal breaker where you're like, where
just like
thing.
It's like, so what do you expect me to do? Just live my life without this thing that is meaningful or like erotic to me?
But it's also like too, where it's like, okay, if you and I are on the same page with so many other things in the scheme of kind of what connects to people, this activity should not be, I mean, like, because as you said, if this is something you don't even want to do, so it's like, it's not even like I'm experiencing some special intimacy you want with someone else, because this is not something you even want to partake in. So it's like almost like I'm gonna go get a massage, but that massage is going to be to my butthole with somebody else's mouth.
Yeah, you know,
and I'll come home and I'll see you later.
And I ate his asshole that entire summer. For a whole summer, I ate his ass, and he went back to his partner. They're back together now. I think they've probably figured things out. I haven't asked them too many questions about their relationship since then. But I think that they learned something about each other and about intimacy and about what it means. And you know, I think sex is important, but also like kind of not like, I think that we grow up giving it, I think we give it way too much gravity. Like it's like every time you have sex with someone, it's like, there are times where it's really important, and there's some time where it's just like a fun thing that you just did with a stranger.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'm too left. Maybe I'm too liberal. But I'm like, sometimes sex is literally just a fun thing you did with a stranger, and you don't ever have to see that person again. And that's just, and sometimes sex is a thing you do with a friend of yours. Maybe it's a friend of yours and you actually aren't dating. You're just friends who sometimes hook up together. I have scenarios like that as well.
You know what it is, though? But because you say, like, sometimes it's not that deep. I agree that sometimes it's not that deep. But I know for me, it is, like, what I figured out. I was like, I don't know how to, like, not care. Because, like, even if I don't want to date you, I want you to want to date me. Do you know what I mean? I learned that. I was like, oh, I don't know how to be chill. Because, you know, I grew up on Sex and the City. And I was like, I'm going to be a young lady in New York running the streets. And then it was, like, literally, like, will you marry me? Immediately.
Yeah.
And then it's like, do you want to marry him? No, but I want him to want to marry me.
I want you to want me.
Exactly.
And that does make sense. And I think, you know, it's different strokes for different folks. Right, different people have different needs and desires. There are people who have no sexual desires, but they have romantic inclinations. That is a thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And let's say you're in a relationship with someone and you can't always keep the same sex drive at the same time. What if you're in a relationship with someone who's just like feeling down or depressed and they still love you and they want to be with you, but they just do not want to have sex?
Yeah, Andy, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that every day?
Well, that's the thing. I love you so much that like, it's not like we don't.
Right. But I know it's like, we've been together 12 years, very open. You know, I'm sex negative, Bob.
Sex negative.
Where I'm just like, not that I'm not really, but I do think, yeah, it's not my primary. What I've said in the pod a lot is like, it's just not my primary mode of feeling connected to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's like, when I think about what I want or what I'm looking for at any given time, it's much more like, you know, Andy paid off one of my credit cards and I never felt so aroused. You know what I mean? I never felt so loved. And it was like, that's what I needed in that moment.
But that makes sense. You know, and if I was having a moment where I just didn't feel like having sex, I'm tired, I don't feel good about my body, you know, my libido's down for whatever reason, I would want my partner to be able to get that from somewhere else. Like that feels important to me, that my partner feels like they can still get their needs met even if I can't meet them. I can't be your everything. I cannot be your everything. I can't. It's too much pressure. It's too much pressure.
Yeah.
Do you think with this guy where you were his summer fling that you were so good at it, he's like, I got a lifetime of ass eating in one summer, and now I can go back to my.
I don't know. You know, I I have no clue. I was also really into him. He was one of the people, he was actually one of the first people I like tried to date, but he was still so in love with his ex that it wasn't going to work out. But it was just summer fling. So when it didn't work out, I wasn't like distraught. I was like, well, that was fun. A few months of me feeling a little sad. And then I, you know, moved on really quickly. And we're still friends to this day. So I don't know, maybe he got his fill, or maybe he went back to his partner and he was like, this is a non-negotiable and I want to be with you, but it is a non-negotiable, and they figured it out. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we like to think that you might have been the king of eating ass. All right. So we're just going to say that. That could just be a lifetime. Think about that.
Judd Apatow, are you listening? We got a new movie idea for you.
King of ass eating.
Do you live with either one of your boyfriends, or do you live?
I live with both of them. I live in two places. Both of my partners live in Hollywood, and I literally just go between literally every day, ping pong between the two homes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's nice. Two different apartments.
Which parts of Hollywood? We're in Hollywood, but our part's on the cusp.
Which are you on the cusp near east. Near east?
Yeah.
I'm on the cusp near west.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm over near Runyon Canyon and Hollywood Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where we want to be.
I like the west side. I like the action over there.
But wait, were you hooking up at all back in Georgia, or did you just kind of wait to New York to like really kick things off?
I mean, I was not celibate in Georgia. celibate, give a bit away. so I was hooking up in Georgia, but not as much as I moved to New York City when I was 22. So I was pretty young. I was pretty young in I mean, my college years were there. I did have some college fun. Mm-hmm. Not as much as I should have, though. To be honest, not as much as I should have. And if you're in your 20s. Yeah, if you're in your 20s, I'm telling you, you are hot. Yeah. I'm telling you, you're probably as hot as you're ever going to be.
Yep.
That's probably the real tea. There's a very few of us who do some sort of reverse fantasy, but if you're in your 20s, you are probably as hot as you are ever going to be, because youth and beauty is such a powerful combination. The thing is, you might be beautiful forever, but you will not be young forever. And youth and beauty is this, like, youth and beauty is a fucking superpower. You can do anything. You can get almost anything you want. And no one's telling you this because they don't want the young, beautiful people to find out that they could literally run the world if they wanted to off of youth and beauty alone.
But see, I think that's what has happened. I think that's exactly what an influencer is. That's somebody who is young and hot, who said, can I have some free stuff? And what I would do in exchange is be young and hot with the stuff. That's what they found out. Because it's so true. Like, you know how sometimes, you know how Facebook used to be like, 9 years ago today, you know, your little memories?
Yeah.
It showed me some picture, and I said, God damn it, look at how thin. But at the time, I was like, I'm so fat. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, I looked at some picture and I said, God damn it, if I knew 2008 was going to be the peak, I would have been out in these streets.
Well, how old are you, Naomi? How old are you two?
I am 38.
And how old are you?
43.
I am 35. I'll be 36 in June.
Oh, my God, you're youthful.
Just the baby. Goo goo gaga. And I, you know, I saw these pictures of me when I was in my 20s in New York City, in drag and out of drag, and being like, man, what a fucking smoking babe. Like, I would have hit on myself so hard back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
But maybe not because of where my confidence was at the time and how I felt at the time about myself, you know?
Yeah.
I remember I met this guy named, I won't say his name, but I met this guy. I almost said his name. I almost said his full legal name.
His government name. God.
And he was this, this like ballet dancer. And I mean, y'all, I don't think I've ever been more like, he was so hot, mm-hmm. and I felt like he was so out of my league at the time. And I was just, my nose was so wide open for him. I made him his Halloween costume. I did everything for him because I was just so fucking attracted to him. I used to braid his hair, like everything. I didn't even know I learned how to braid hair for this nigga. Like,
God.
I was obsessed. And you know what? He was really into being, admiration was his, like, that's what attracted him to people. Mm-hmm. Like, he liked being adored. Mm-hmm. He loved being desired. And if you desired him, he would find you desirable. And that was like, and the more you desired him, the more he would desire you. And I remember one time I took him to the bar, we were hanging out, and I like went to go talk to a DJ, and I came back, and there was just like, I might be exaggerating my head, but it felt like 10 older guys around him just being like, "You're so beautiful. You are so," and they were like touching his body.
Oh my
and like,
God.
They're all just like, "You're
like they were
just
at a museum."
I mean, honestly, they were just like, "You're just, I've never seen anyone." So they were all just like, because he was letting them touch his body, and they were like old men touching his body, and they were like, "This is fucking great." And that was when I was like, "This guy's got it figured out." Something about like wanting people who want you, that is so next level.
Yeah. Well, that the thing is, I would think, I will say though, to me too, people who are attracted to me are always halfway there. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, I've never, you know, that idea of like bad boys or guys who are assholes. I was like, no, like I don't like me, so I need one of us to like me. You know, yeah. Like I can't have you be shitty too. Like I was never attracted to somebody who was a dick.
I never understood the desire to have someone who I never understood hard to get. But if you play hard to get, I am immediately gone. Like I'm like, well, I assume you don't like me. I'll go spend my time elsewhere.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But I also love desire. The more someone likes me, the more I like them. I learned that lesson from my friend whose name I guess to say his name was Preston. His name was Preston. He was beautiful.
Beautiful Preston. I mean, honestly, his name would be Preston.
You're like, his name was Baryshnikov.
His name was Slavly.
Are you ready to get into some questions?
Sure.
But do you have another question? I feel like you do. I see your brain moving.
I got lost in the story. Sorry. What I imagined was like I was imagining at this club a circle of like Harvey Fierstein's kind of encircling Preston and all just like rubbing their fingers on his abs. And I got lost in that image in my head.
Honestly, you're not wrong. So imagine Preston was like this, maybe like 5'9", 5'8", so like average height, but was a ballet dancer. So had a body that right. was just like absolutely absurd. Like I can't even describe how great his body was, and his butt was amazing. And he would wear very short shorts and very tight shirt. This was pre crop tops. Crop tops weren't really a big deal back
right,
then.
Right. Preston made his own.
Can we ever remember the pre crop top era?
This is Preston. This is just for you. Can you see?
Okay, yes. All right. So you was up here learning how to oil a scalp in cornrow. You were right, up here learning to oil a scalp for love.
Preston. What a great time. What a great. The Look other how thing, beautiful.
Yeah.
That is, oh yeah, God. A model. A model.
The other thing I was in my head, I was like, oh God, am I, will I ever, I don't think I ever, I have this fantasy that if I lift enough weights, I'll recapture the body I had in my 20s. And you just saying that, the other thing I was thinking, I'm just like, oh, I'm done. Like I will always have this neck. This neck is, unless
just
I have plastic
go get
surgery,
it.
This is my neck for the rest of my life.
Girl, save $6,000 and get that shit sucked out of your face. Like, you got to lean into what the queers are doing. We are just getting, we are just like, you know, we follow the Dolly Parton. If Dolly Parton says, if it's bagging, sagging, or dragging, I'm going to nip it, suck it, or tuck it. And just looking.
Oh, my God, I love it. Look, Dolly gave us the vaccine. I trust her.
I'm going to get mine sucked out. I can't wait. To get this fucking shit sucked out of my chin. I can't wait until I have enough downtime where I can go get my fucking fat pulled out of my chin. Oh, it's going to be
isn't it a long, what's a recovery? Because like you pretty much have to like keep it still, right? To really make sure it takes.
Well, you wear a faja or like a face mask basically around your face and just wear it like, but I have a couple of friends who've had it done. They say it's actually a pretty easy recovery.
Oh,
you just have to
good.
Wear this thing a lot.
For a while.
Last thing I'll show you. This is the outfit. This is the Halloween costume I made Preston.
Wow. Okay, y'all, this is a whole nother level. It is.
I made him. It was a houndstooth black swan moment. And
yes.
I even paid swan. For the materials myself like a fucking maniac.
Now, how long were you and Preston either, how long was your love?
How long were you in the orbit of
each other? Yes, the orbit of Preston.
Preston and I were probably fooling around on and off for maybe like 5 months, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good run with a Preston. Yeah,
to make a costume for someone within the first 5 months, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's early, but that's how much, that's what Preston gets. Preston hasn't paid a bill in 20 years.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like when you're really, I mean, if you're young and hot and you're paying your own bills, what the fuck are you doing? Like, let go of your dignity and get your fucking bills paid and save your own money. Yes. Release your sense of self-righteousness and find someone who will be, and I'm telling you, they will be more than happy to foot the bill for you and then take all of your own money that you would be spending on bills and put it in some sort of a Roth IRA or a savings account or fucking who knows. Oh, imagine if I had known in my fucking 20s that I could have found some rich daddy who'd be happy to pay my bills for the next 10 years and then I would have came out with dozens of thousands of dollars.
I know.
Ciao.
Okay, Bob School of Accounting. Yeah. We need to just get this to the children. We need to make this a Zoom lecture because it is so true. I remember there was this girl, I took improv with her, and she had a couple of daddies, and she was on, I forget what the website was, maybe like Sugar Babies or it was something where she like, and I just remember because I was like, she does improv. I know she doesn't work. But when I tell you she dressed to the fucking nines.
Girl, you got to use what you got to get what you want.
And I know.
Yes, Sandig and Gucci.
Thank you. I said, literally, I was like, what are you doing with like, she had like a Prada bag. We're like an improv class. I go, what you doing with this Prada bag in this improv class? And she goes, well, I have a gentleman. And all he wanted, I said, you hit the jackpot. He wanted her to put on high heels and like step on things. Not even necessarily his body, but like, he just liked heels crunching and destroying shit in his apartment, and then she would get all these nice things
like smashing glass, like Mazel Tov, like
you glass got chips, like things like he just wanted the crunch and the destruction of like high heels, and I was just like, you are a genius. And she had all these things, and she was basically like, you know, and then I just, and then what she would do, she would just resell them, right? She would get a free bag and then she would sell the bag and be like, here's my money.
She's ahead of the curve. Genius. She's ahead of the curve.
She was. She's out. I was like, you are. This was 2007. And she knew. She knew. And I'll never forget. I think about her often. I think about her often.
And look, you know, and now that's. By the way, I just DM'd you on Instagram all of the pictures of Preston.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I want you to see I want you to get a good view of these pictures. Over the Zoom is not great. I want you to see why my obsession was so intense.
If suddenly Naomi's feeling a little aroused later, I'll know why.
I'm gonna be just following. You're like, why are you following and liking all this person's photographs?
By the way, if there's a sugar daddy out there that wants to buy us as a couple at Birkin bag, we're open to that.
Us as a couple. I asked Andy if I could have a man pay for my things, and he was like, no. And I was like, but why not? I was like, obviously, if he. It depends on what his parameters were. But if he was someone who was like, I would just like you to come like hang out with me and talk to me, I'd be like, sure. Why not? I understand why you wouldn't. This is not me using Bob to try to bully you.
Because I'm happy to do so.
only. Okay. I'll on air. I'll only allow it if I get a pair of Louboutins out of it.
Okay. We can do that for you.
Well, Andy, I think you may be discounting your ability to also go out here and get a man to buy you things as well. Let me tell you right now. If you, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what your feet look like, Andy, but there's guys on the internet who will pay a handsome penny to look at those 10 little piggies.
They're not good. They're not good.
His feet are very flat.
I got flat
feet. So they're not really going to get him much.
They're not. No one. No one's fiending for these little piggies.
But if someone wanted to give Naomi a foot massage and then they're going to pay the light bill.
Thank you. This one's
swallow your pride and get your bills paid, honey.
Thank you. Swallow your pride and get your bills paid.
Ooh, swallow my pride. That's my one. Pride is my one thing.
You're like, I refuse. I'll have nothing left if I swallow my pride.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, now, Bob, we got some questions. These people need us, okay? And they're so lucky that they get you to help them live their life. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to answer some of these people's relationship questions.
Awesome.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought, it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed. Absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable.
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy. Okay. Soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office, okay? I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in Heather Gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop. And we're back, Heidi, with Bob the Drag Queen, here to help you handle your scandal. Bob, these people come to us. They come to us every which way but loose.
Okay.
We're getting voicemails. We're getting DMs. We're getting emails.
House visitors. House calls.
We're getting house calls.
Every 10 minutes, someone ringing the doorbell asking us for advice. Let's do this is an easy one, I think. Let's start with this.
Okay.
Hey, Andy and Naomi and guest. Quick question here. I've been dating my boyfriend for just over a year, and when we met, we were both vegetarians, and now, since then, I have started eating meat. This was not an issue until recently, where apparently he can smell my breath, or he can smell meat on my breath, so I have to brush my teeth before I can kiss him, or sometimes even talk closely in close proximity, or even in his direction. Yeah, is this normal, or is this not? Okay, thanks, bye.
Can I jump in here?
Yes.
Your boyfriend's a drama queen. Can I just say that out loud right now? Your boyfriend can smell meat in your mouth because your mouth is made of meat. You are the meat, Mary. It's your whole mouth. In my experience, meat does not linger that long on the breath. It sounds like your boyfriend might be trying to guilt you because he wants you to be vegetarian with him.
Oh.
But I don't actually believe that the meat is, unless every hour on the hour you bite into a spare rib,
right.
there's probably not meat lingering on your breath. Mary, I think that you need to ask your boyfriend, what's the real problem? What do we really need to talk about here?
I agree, because the moment he said to me, and even if I talk in his direction, I said, no. He's asking you to social distance on some meat, and especially because I'm like, are you not brushing your teeth in general? That would be the only way, in which, again, case, it's still not about the meat, it's about your breath just stanking.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's no way. I mean, for instance, I mean, you're a vegetarian. Yes. I eat meat.
Yes.
You know,
I do not taste meat on your breath.
Exactly. I'm like, you don't.
You don't have a roast beef sandwich from Arby's, and I'm like, and I kiss you, and I'm like, well, there's the roast beef.
But there are certain foods, of course, where you'll be like, oh, I don't like the smell. Like, you'll know, like, it was some seafood something where you were like, ew, I don't like the smell of that. But I don't even think it was on my breath, just like the smell of the food in the house.
Yeah, I wasn't a seafood fan before I stopped eating.
So you're just like, oh, I don't like the smell of something. I do. I think it's the boyfriend trying to be like, he wants to make it difficult for you so that you stop eating the meat.
Also, like, how does your boyfriend navigate spaces like the world? How does he go to restaurants? How does he talk to everyone else in his life that eats meat? Everyone. People at work, parents, siblings. Do they all also have to look in different directions when talking to him? He's full of shit.
His friends
are
slaughterhouse.
I hate to call your boyfriend full of shit, but he's full of shit.
By the way, when you're saying snacking on a spare rib, all I could imagine was someone with a bandolier of spare ribs, and they just pull one off every hour or so.
Just a little gnaw.
Nom, 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 nom.
Rambo style.
Yes, exactly.
They got like a Batman thing of sauces.
Oh, yeah, my God. That is so funny. Yeah, so you're saying, is this normal? We're saying, no, it's not. That is our hard and fast rule. It's not normal.
Yeah, maybe confront your boyfriend about it. I mean, I wouldn't do that. Bob,
hit him.
Much more.
Hit him! Shut it down!
Or if you don't want to confront it, I would say have some of those little breath strips with you all the time.
But not even. Those are gross. I hate the feeling of them. They burn. That's not the point. The point is, it's like, I get it. Yes. If I bite into a burger, and you want me kissing you after. Sure. No one really does anyway.
Don't kiss me with a mouthful of burger. I guess that's the only thing I ask for. Don't like take a big old chop of burger and then like spit into my mouth.
Don't baby bird a hamburger into your mouth. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's all I ask.
That's fair. I think for anybody. But no, this is too much. And I think it's just like them being like, oh, I don't like that he eats meat now.
Is food part of their love life?
What do you mean?
It's not even part of the conversation. They can't even talk while eating the same food. So I don't think they're taking food into the bedroom.
I'm coming up with all the possible scenarios I can think of to why this might be a big deal outside of the very obvious one, which is the boyfriend is trying to guilt him into becoming a vegetarian again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all it is. Just guilt. All right. We handled that. Okay. You tell us when your boy, you call us back and you tell us when your boyfriend says, let him hear this. Let him hear all three of us saying no, no, no. And then hopefully that will do it.
Yeah. In fact, when you and your boyfriend break up, tell me how that worked out. when your gaslighting boyfriend finally breaks up with you, tell me how that worked out.
Ooh, the savage light of truth. All right, I think this one's a little more serious.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm focused.
Hey, Naomi and Andy. I guess you can call me Ariel. So my question is, I've been in a very serious 4-year relationship with my partner. He's really great. I have some issues. I basically came from a very abusive childhood. I'm in therapy now, and I was also married before to my ex, and that was also abusive. So diagnosed with a lot of things, including PTSD. And my current partner, is very, very good with that, very emotional and very, like, understanding towards that. And he's also in therapy as well, so yay, therapy. So, yeah, anyway, my problem is I have a very big commitment problem where I freak out. If I sense anything wrong in a relationship, I'm usually out of there. I'm also, like, really bad at committing to, like, other things, too, but especially in relationships. So anyway, long story short, me and my partner, we actually got a house together. We bought a house, which is super big for me. Even me and my ex-husband, we didn't have a house or kids. So we have this house together. Everything's going fine, but we kind of dipped into a little bit of a depression, especially on his end, which is why he's in therapy. And basically, he's very much a tech head, and his job is in tech, so he loves all those, you know, fun toys and shit. You can tell I'm very knowledgeable. So he actually plays video games all day, every day, including at work. I see he has like 3 screens set up in his office, and one of them has the game, his little computer games. So he either does that, and if he's not playing video games, he's playing poker. And he doesn't really do anything else around the house, unless he's asked, which is very annoying because I feel like we're in like a 50s, like, bad sitcom where I'm like, you want to take out the trash? And he's like, oh, okay. And, you know, hold the whole ball and stain. And I just don't want to be that person. But I really do love him, but I don't, this has been going on for years now. But long story short, I just want to know, what should I do to, like, approach the subject? I've talked about it in therapy, and she's really, like, team Ariel, and basically, like, you know, you need to talk to him, which I have talked to him, and nothing really changes. He doesn't see the problem with it. He thinks, well, as long as I'm, you know, doing the things that you asked me to, and he'll, like, mow the lawn sometimes, and, like, if there's bags by the door, like, trash bags, we'll take that out. So he's like, you know, I do help, but I just want him to, like, think about it on his end and clean the house. Like, we bought this house together, and he doesn't seem like he's taking pride in it. And, like, when we had an apartment before, he said the reason why he didn't clean and he was, like, you know, doing playing video games and playing poker was because he, you know, he didn't, like, own the house. But now we own this house, and he's doing the same thing. And I'm afraid that it's never going to change, no matter how many times I ask him. Should I get over it? Because he is great in every other single way, possibly. Like, just amazing, amazing guy. Or it's
every other way.
Like, I don't know. How should I approach this? I need your help. Okay. Thanks, bye. Sorry, this is so long-winded. This is.
That was very long-winded.
Oh, Jesus Christ. No, Bob. I feel like this is... The answer might be easy, although maybe the...
We need you to be direct, because I think my impulse is something that will not be pleasant to hear. Like, my reaction is, like, when you say somebody, like, he's great in every other way, but you're saying he doesn't do anything around the house unless
except
you tell until he's in, and he plays video games all the time. Now, for such a long message, I would like to think that if there was something else he was doing that was good, you would have told me. But you didn't include it.
Maybe he's great at eating ass.
Maybe he's great at eating ass. Maybe, you know, he's emotionally open. But I don't know. I think it's also, to me, like, whenever I hear, like, video games all the time, I really am, like, not into it. I have a hard time being, like, on whoever side that is. Like, I can't, I don't understand it, really.
Yeah, it sounds like you know, when I first started dating Jacob used to walk into the living room, and he would take off his, he would change clothes, but, like, at the door. Like, he'd walk in and take off his pants and his shirt and his shoes and then go put on something comfortable for the house. But he would leave his pants. I mean, it would look like the movie Taken. it was like vanished. Like, everything just like crumpled. You know, you remember that movie with the monsters in the dark, and they would shine the light, and the lights would. You remember that movie?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes, and they would just be like a puddle of whatever.
I'm thinking Left Behind. That
yeah,
that
Left Behind. Yeah, I'm gonna say Left Behind, Rapture style, or like that movie with the, anyway. And I told my mom, and I said, "Mom, this drives me crazy when Jacob does this." And she goes, "Well, have you mentioned it to him?" I said, "Yeah." But he keeps doing it. And she was like, "Well, you better get into it, because if he's doing this, he's been doing it way before he met you, and he's probably going to be doing it for a long time. This is a part of who Jacob is." And then I just said, "You know, I'm just going to pick up Jacob's clothes and move them." And it really doesn't bother me that much. Like, I would like for him to do it the way I want him to do it. But the truth is, it really doesn't bother me that much. Like, I just pick him up and I move the clothes to the room, and it's not a big deal, because Jacob is funny. He is smart. My family loves him. I love him. We get along. We're amazing friends. Like, he's great in every other way. So I'm like, it's really not that big of a deal. So you have to give yourself a pros and cons list, or you know, figure out how many points this is, like, how much does this really bother you versus, is he funny? Do your friends like him? Does your family love him? Is he emotionally available to you? Or is he great in bed? Does he help you with everything? Does he help in other ways that feel supportive to you? And I think that if he's playing video games all the time, I mean, I'm trying to imagine someone who's like in the house playing video games, then on their computer at work playing video games, then in the phone and the Uber playing video games. And it sounds like it's just something he really loves to do. He just obviously really loves video games. And I do think asking someone to stop doing something that brings them joy, I don't even know if it does bring them joy. It could be a bit of a area of contention, but it's also okay to ask for things you want as well. Like, if you want more attention, it's okay to say, "Hey, I would like some more. Is there any way that maybe instead of playing video games tonight, you and I could have a dinner? Yeah. You and I could watch a movie. You and I could go for a walk." You know?
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say that, like, that's it. And that's why I'm like, okay, because Ariel didn't say he plays video games instead of spending time with me. Because, like, that's the question, right? Like, is it video games above all else? Or is it, like, just whenever you look over, there's a video game? Because there is a difference, right? Like, meaning, if it's like, if you're like, "Oh, we can't have a conversation because he'll play a poker," that's different than just poker's his thing, the way some people like to read. I mean, Lord knows I play games on my phone all the time. But for me, it's not. It's almost like a disassociating or like a relaxing thing, you know, because, like, the game doesn't really matter. It's just like a thing to do with my hands.
You might as well be doing a Zen garden.
Yeah, it's just like something to kind of do with my hands when my brain is thinking about other stuff. And so, for instance, like, you know, if you come in and you're like, "I want to talk to you," I'm not like, "Stop it, I'm playing."
"I play Gardenscapes, get out of here."
Like, I wouldn't do that. And so if that's not what it is, I think when it comes, though, as you said, she was like, "This is the way he is." Because I think when they were in the apartment, it was just an excuse. You know, when he's like, "Well, I don't do stuff because it's not ours." And it's like, well,
that's a weird excuse too.
Well, I mean, I know. But my point is, like, you don't want to do it. You're lazy. You don't want to, like, do chores.
Who wants to do chores? They're not fun. You put a podcast in your ears and you wash the goddamn dishes.
I know, but, like, yeah. I think if you've been in a relationship with somebody long enough, who doesn't, right? You know, if you just hold out, that person's going to do it anyway. You know what I mean? Like, that's why it's like,
I know, but, like, I always roll my eyes at these kind of, like, 1950s type things. And also, what video games is this guy playing? Is he playing, like, shooting games? Because then I'd just be worried. Report him to the FBI. And no, I don't. I am a socialist. I don't support the FBI. Get over it, everyone. All right, they're murderers. I'm just saying.
Oh my God, Andy just said call the cops on a black person. Oh my God, report.
I'm just saying, if it's one of these shooty games, then
shooty. Okay, Grandma, shooty games.
Well, as someone who does play video, as someone who does play video games, I play like Smash Brothers and
the good ones. Yes,
I also play Fortnite. I hate to tell you, but I also play Fortnite.
Fortnite.
What is that? And I don't even know what that is.
It is a quote shooty game, but it's about as friendly as a shooty game can be. It's the Disney version of shooty games. It's not Call of Duty, and you know
that's when the ones I was talking about.
When me and my boyfriend started dating, I was obsessed with this game called Piano Tiles, and I couldn't. It was on the phone. It was like Guitar Hero, but for your phone. It was pianos instead, and you had to hit. And I was like, I could not stop playing this game. And there was times where he was like, "Hey, I want to hang out with you," and then I had to be like, "Oh, you know, I have been playing Piano Tiles for 6 hours. I think that you and I could probably maybe hang out a little bit. You know what I mean?" Also, there's a small chance. Have you ever tried playing games with him?
Oh, that's true.
Damn,
that's true. It's so funny. I don't have the
dexterity.
The dexterity for games. Like Andy will play stuff and then I just am literally so I'm like, "Wait, what are we doing? How many times do you have to hit him until you beat him?" Like I don't have the patience.
Have you ever tried? And I don't want I play 40 minutes a day while I'm on the exercise bike and that's my video game time.
What games do you play?
Right now I'm playing Monster Hunter Rise. I'm fighting giant monsters, giant kaiju.
But before you were playing like Zelda Breath of the Wild. They're like
that's why I got the
great game.
Breath of the Wild.
Great game. Zelda is a great game.
It's very pretty, but then also my problem with Zelda is that I feel like I don't like these games where you have to like do real life things.
Like cooking.
He was always trying to make a stew. Bob, that's just life.
Yeah, they just made Sims really fancy is all they've done.
It was like, do you have the ingredients for your mushroom stew? And then if you didn't have ingredients, you have to go get them. And I was like, this is just like going to the grocery store.
Breath of the Wild is a great game. That's the thing. When it came to Breath of the Wild, like me and my partner both know when the new one comes out, which they've been threatening to bring it out for years now. Once it comes out, we're just gonna need a month to play this game, and then we'll be back to life as usual. But I'm gonna need this month to play Breath of the Wild. I'm so sorry.
It is very zen though. The music was good. I always felt like I was in a spa. The music.
Oh, yeah.
I would come back. I was like, okay, I love this Breath of the Wild moment. And then I just
the Ocarina of Time. The Ocarina of Time gets you together.
All the Zeldas. I love all the Zeldas. Okay, but. I think the crux of this thing, though, is the chores thing, is the, like, not helping out with the household stuff.
Well, you got to make a damn chore wheel, put it on the fridge or whatever, and go, I need you to do this by X day. Like, I need you to do it by Wednesday, whether that is, like, right now or tomorrow, just get it done by Wednesday for me. Because it does sound like this is somebody, he does what is asked of him.
Yeah, and maybe it's little rules, like, you know, in my house growing up, we had a rule called you top it off, you drop it off, meaning if you... Whatever piece of trash breaks the seal of the trash can, and also there was a hard and fast rule, no smushing the trash down so that you're not the one.
No, or that's ours. Smash down until there's a diamond down there.
Or if the rule is like, you know, every night wash dishes. Like I cook, you wash, or you cook, I wash, or I'll do the trash and you do the thing. And you just every day make it a daily reprieve. If it's a daily reprieve, then it's hard to fall out of the habit if you really make it an everyday thing. And some people genuinely do need reminders. Some people genuinely need reminders, and maybe he's one of those folks. Because it sounds like when you ask him, he does it. It also sounds like you said that when you ask him, he's like, "Oh, my nagging wife." And that's I would be like, I don't like when you describe me as a nagging wife. That doesn't feel nice.
Yep.
It doesn't feel nice when I'm trying to improve our house and I ask you to help and then you say that I'm nagging you. That doesn't feel good when you say that.
Right. Exactly. Like we share this, not just the mortgage but the space. So I'm gonna need you to put the time in. But also though, when you talk about commitment, Ariel saying that they have commitment issues, but I'm like, you bought property with this person. I was like, that's the same thing as like getting married. I'm like, to me it's not a commitment issue. I don't think you not liking him not doing chores means you are not committed.
Are both of you on the mortgage? Because if not, kick him out.
Yeah. I just remembered how much, like, Ariel dropped so much on us. There was the commitment issues. There was the past relationships. Yes. There was the trauma. There's the There's the video games. Yes. There's the chores. There was a lot in that very long message. A lot. Yeah. And I don't even know that we have the capacity or the resources to attack all these issues.
Well, I think Ariel was setting the table to be like, am I being too, like, if I have commitment problems, am I being too harsh on him?
Right. And it's like, no. And also, like, you know, you want somebody to clean up. I think what can happen, though, when you do have that background is that you don't trust yourself. And so you end up in these where you're like, well, okay, this person is, like, nice to me, certainly different than previous partners, right, and their respect for me. Should I just have that and not worry about the fact that, you know, he's messy or plays video games? And it's like,
or Castlevania occupies his mind 24/7.
24/7 Castlevania.
And it also, like, kind of sounds like you're trying to break up with him. Like, it kind of sounds like you're like, I have commitment issues. Like, what is your issue? Like, I'm wondering, what do you mean commitment issues? I don't hear any commitment issues. Are you wondering if you need to be with this person? I don't know. I'm making a lot of really bold assumptions about you and your relationship with your partner. But what I will recommend is that you both engage in some open and honest communication. And I think that you should let him know how it feels when you have to encourage him to clean the house, and let him know how it feels when he says that you're nagging, and then ask him how he feels when you ask these things. How do you feel when this happens? How do you feel when you play video games? How do you feel when I, you know, ask him? Maybe you'll learn something really interesting.
And also, too, because you said you're both in therapy, why don't y'all try a little couples therapy? Not just writing into the podcast couples therapy, but actually getting just because you may just want a person, you know, maybe a few sessions where you just kind of talk some of this out with a third person. Yeah. You can just kind of be like, this is what he's saying, this is what she's saying, this is what you guys can do.
That's like 99% of our couples therapy. Yeah. It's just our therapist, like, translating stuff, and then us realizing, oh yeah, we're on the same page.
Him being like, these are the steps you can take. Like, okay, it sounds like this is what's up. Why don't you try doing X? See how that works for y'all. Do you do therapy, Bob?
I do not do therapy, and I really should. I really think that more Black people need to go to therapy, but for some reason, we just do not be up in therapy. We do not be therapizing ourselves.
We need to therapize, and I'm telling you, you know, you can find that sliding scale. I stand by it. I am looking for a new person. I just started with somebody who I'm like, I think she's all right. You know, I have parameters. I'm very difficult. It's hard right now getting these therapists. These therapists are booked, busy, blessed right now. The pandemic has been their time.
Yeah, I need to. My partner Ezra has a therapist that he talks to like every week. I'm like, this is really. But he's also he's in his show, like in his behavior, like you.
I'm saying Ezra's a good partner. Hey,
it's like you're clearly a person going through therapy. Good for you, baby. You are great.
Also, if this relationship, Ariel's relationship, is like a kind of 1950s-esque one, I say Lysistrata. Lysistrata? How do you do it? I say withhold until he does the chores.
Oh, gross.
Now, that's mind games. I mean, Lysistrata's a great piece of Greek theater, but I don't know that I'm going to tell you to start, you know, withholding pussy until... until...
Oh, that was the phrase in my head, and I could not say it out loud.
Withhold pussy.
Bob, thank you so, so much for coming and visiting us on the pod. This has been a magical, magical hour.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Shout out to Noah.
Shout out to Noah.
Shout out to Noah.
Noah, thank you so much for connecting me. And, you know, I remember telling Noah that I really admire your work. And you know how you know someone by their their Instagram name?
Yeah.
So I was calling you Blackdress.
I'm honored.
And he was like, I just don't feel like I can call her Blackdress. I'm gonna stick with Naomi. But now that we have intertwined,
yes,
Naomi it is.
Yes, absolutely. And we know so many comedy people. You were just doing the Netflix festival show, and your friends with Mateo. And I was always seeing you on Mateo's page, and I was like, oh my god, finally.
Is it Naomi or Naomi?
Naomi.
How do you feel about people who call you? Are there people like Naomi?
Yeah, I don't correct them though. I kind of am like, whatever, I know who you're talking to.
If they get Carrigan right, you're like, bless.
I mean, if they can get Carrigan, it's like, do whatever you want, honey.
Well, thank you all for having me. This has been very fun.
You're the best. Thank you so much. All right, you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Hey, Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.